Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we're waiting for you.
Was that my cue to jump in?
It was.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight on this Memorial Day evening. And we're certainly grateful for you being a part of this Monday Manna time of study. And we are grateful for God sustaining us throughout this day. It's a time of remembrance and reflection. And many of us have just kind of been chilling and getting some rest and relaxation. But we must always remember those who set the charge and led the way, gave their lives and sacrificed that we might have an opportunity to enjoy the things that we're yet enjoying in this land and this country of ours. And so I'm certainly grateful for the awesome sacrifice that was paid. We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 23 tonight, and there are about 44 verses there. We're not going to try to cover all of this. We know many of you are still out around the grill and no doubt enjoying family and friends and just relaxing. We'll probably go for about 30, 40 minutes tonight, and then we'll wrap it up, and you'll have an opportunity to get back doing what you were doing and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day that God has included us in. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it, Lady Kim?
Yes, it is.
Did you get a chance to get you some rest and relaxation today?
Just a little bit. But
just
yes.
A little bit?
Yes.
All right. You did more work than you did relaxation?
Unfortunately.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing I cooked yesterday so that we'll take some of the weight off of you for today. But we won't go there right now. Let's say a prayer. And God, we thank you for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. And we're certainly grateful for this day that you have included us in, and we yet give you praise. We pray your blessings to be upon us tonight as we engage in this time together, as we gather ourselves around your word. You said your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so we believe that tonight, and we know that our faith is going to increase tonight, and that things are going to happen as a result of us spending this time together. So we bless you and we honor you and we yet give you praise. We ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Somebody give God a thumbs up or let us know that you're getting a clear signal. Besides Lady Kim, somebody tell us that the sound is coming in clear and that you can hear us and that you're getting a good sound tonight. Well, there's a lot to cover and we won't hold you long tonight. We're going to be about 30, 40 minutes tonight as we gather on this Memorial Day. What is the significance of Memorial Day for you, Lady Kim?
Well, we honor those who lost their lives protecting and fighting for our country in foreign lands and as well as here in the United States. One thing comes to mind about here in the United States is 9/11, where first responders rushed to the site of the Twin Towers to help people. As a result, many of them lost their lives as well.
That's right, that's right.
And then those who are fighting wars in foreign lands, Afghanistan, and all different places.
Okay.
We just pray for them and their families because they fought a valiant fight. And then we honor those who fought in those wars and made it home safely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we just thank God for those in the military who continuously protect our land and our country.
Okay. And so it's a time of reflection and remembrance and a time of giving thanks. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And not only on our shores, but also those who are fighting in distant places to help defend our rights here in the United States. And so many have taking time out to remember and to reflect, and some have lost loved ones even in the battle for freedom for us all. So it's a grateful time for us. It's a time for us to be grateful. It's a time for us to remember. All right. Well, a powerful time on yesterday in the worship experience as we heard from Dr. Kim Murray for the first time after she has been officially certified and passed all of the requirements at Memphis Theological Seminary to earn a doctorate in ministry. And so she stood tall on yesterday and shared a very powerful word and a reminder about prayer, a very familiar passage of scripture that is one that many of us grew up on, and we sometimes can recite it by memory. But part of what I heard you say is coming from Matthew 6, 6 through 15. But part of what I heard you say is that this is really not a prayer to be prayed, but it's a model prayer to help us get what we need and to honor God in the process.
Amen.
Is
that's
that
right.
correct? That
that's
might not
correct.
Be the exact words, but
that was wonderful.
It's like a launching pad for us. Mm-hmm. And so many times I think people recite the Lord's Prayer as their prayer, mm-hmm. but you said that's a foundation for us.
Absolutely.
In terms of honoring God with what's in the prayer.
Yeah. And one of the things I should have said is there's nothing wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
I think it's good that we teach our children the Lord's Prayer. At least they'll have something, excuse me, to fall back on, mm-hmm. if their memory lapses. You know, if we're caught in a tough situation, we can always bring up the Lord's Prayer in our memory banks.
Okay.
So it's a good prayer to it's a good prayer to memorize, but it wasn't meant to be utilized in that way every time. So
okay.
God wanted us to use it, or Jesus wanted us to use it as the framework of the pieces of it in order to make it specific to our prayers.
Okay.
And
okay.
our needs and our concerns.
So there were like six examples you gave in terms of your point to help us understand how we can utilize that as a foundation for us praying. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
And of course, the title of the message, mm-hmm. really captured my imagination, and it also, I'm sure, captured the imagination of a lot of people who had an opportunity to hear the sermon on yesterday. By the way, a great job.
Thank you.
Were a little long, but you had a lot to say. And you told the people from the start that if they have a short memory, they need a long pencil. Am I correct?
That is correct. That's what my mother used to say. If you got a short memory, you get a long pencil. That means you got a lot of notes to take.
All right. Well, you had a lot to say, and you tried to get it all out on yesterday, but you know you can't get it all out in one sermon, because we want you to hear you again, and want you to have something else to say when your time comes around. You talked about Pentecost, you talked about fathers, and then you got into the specifics of prayer. But the title, back to the title, go into your room, shut the door, and pray.
Amen.
Is that right? Am I saying that correctly?
That's right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I changed it several times, and you know that the scripture says, go into your room.
Mm-hmm.
But you go into your room, shut the door, and pray. But, you know, as African-American people, we don't say into. We say
okay.
go in your room or go to your room.
Okay.
You know? And so I kind of just made it a little shorter and said, go in your room, shut the door, and pray.
All right. So, you know, when I first saw that, I guess there has been growing up, and you mentioned African Americans, in the African American family, when you were instructed to go to your room or go in your room, that was almost a negative connotation in terms of something was about to happen, or you were on the verge of putting yourself in a position where something really is going to happen. You need to go to your room right now,
mm-hmm.
and shut the door,
because mm-hmm.
enough is enough, and we're about fed up. And if you keep this up, then something's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's the old school way of bringing up kids, but I don't think too many of these young kids understand that. But you made that so powerful for us in terms of reducing the negative connotation that may have stuck in some of our minds about going to our rooms, and you gave us some power principles for effective prayer. You talked about six different strategies for how we need to honor God and how we need to use this, the Lord's Prayer, as a platform or a launching pad for us to get breakthrough in our situations.
Amen.
So any of those you want to comment on, or however you want to flow, you want me to do this, or you gonna tell us a little bit about what the Lord has been telling you since you preached on yesterday?
We can tag team. How about that?
Well, we're doing that already. So normally you would tell what happened in the sermon, and then I would just kind of piggyback. So I was trying to see if you wanted to lead out, since you maybe have received some fresh revelation since yesterday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing that I really, I can't say the only thing, but I'll start with the first one that says, you know, that we need to recognize as a God is our Father.
Okay.
And I talked about people who did not have father figures in their life.
Okay.
I spoke to them, but I could also speak to the people that I didn't speak to, the people who had good fathers in their
mm-hmm.
lives.
Mm-hmm.
And just to say thank you to God that you had a good father.
Right.
You
right.
had a father that cared for the family financially. You had a good father who was a great disciplinarian. You had a great father who showed up when he was supposed to show up. And we have many, many good fathers out there. But some of us did not have a good role model as a father. And so I really wanted to touch bases to let them know that even though you may not have had a good father, a good natural father, you have a wonderful spiritual father that you can always count on. And that not only goes for those who did not have a positive role model as a father, but also to those who do have a good role model as a father.
Okay. So you said a lot there, because many times, and I'm not privy to this, because I had a great father growing up and a positive role model and example for me. But as you indicated, there are those who don't have that influence in their lives. And many times it's a void that continues to persist even when they become of age. And it's oftentimes reflected in their behavior in terms of how they deal with their own children. But tell us a little bit more about how those positive fathers, and I know you had mentioned you were going to preach on Father's Day, but tell us a little bit more about how those...
Well, I said I could have saved that for Father's Day.
Okay. Well, you can still save it. That's my whole... You just reemphasizing my point. But tell us a little bit more about those who... speak a word to those who perhaps missed that, because I know several people, and I know there are probably some who are viewing this particular Bible study tonight that had an absence of that influence in their family. And what would you say to them?
As far as
a father figure,
a good father, the
attribute? Father figure, yeah, a father figure present in the home growing up.
Okay, well, there could have been many father figures, you know. I know you had a great coach, Coach Hasbury. He was a great father figure for those on your basketball team who may not have had a good father. He instilled in you all discipline and commitment and drive. And so there are many good father figures out there. Counselors at schools are great father figures. So father figures are there. We just need more of them. Good father figures, but great fathers, you know, they not only provide financially for their children, but they also are there for them to support them. They also are to discipline them and let your children make mistakes. Not disastrous mistakes, but you know, well, kids are gonna make mistakes, and they have to learn. Everybody makes mistakes, and we have to learn from our mistakes. But what I meant by that is that we don't run to the aid of our children every time they make a mistake, because they don't learn how to deal with those mistakes. So is that what you're alluding to?
Well, that's great. That's great. Because there are perhaps those who are even watching tonight, Lady Kim, that I can't imagine how their life might have been without a person in the household outside of those influences, like a coach and professor or, you know, counselor, because that influence in the house really determines the behavior growing up and outside the house. And I think there's a longing and a searching for, and I'm just speaking from not from experience, but I believe that there's a longing and a searching for. I've talked and counseled with several people for that kind of role model in their lives. And when the void is real deep, then they find themselves drifting and looking for love in all the wrong places. Absolutely. And trying to find something to fill that void that can only be filled by that person. And then I've seen when people have reconnected with their father, that it was kind of suspect in terms of the feelings and how they were going to relate. But I can't imagine, like I said, how a person might be able to go through that, but they survive and continue to move forward. Mm-hmm. And so my whole thing is that we don't allow that to influence how we parent and how we behave, because most of the time, and we're probably guilty of it ourselves, we try to give our children that which we lacked growing up ourselves. Yes. And try to make a better life for them.
Yes.
And sometimes it goes by neglecting some of the very principles that's necessary in order for them to be sustained. I was surprised when you said that about, no, I won't even go there, but it's interesting how our children hold a place in our hearts that really pulls us to the rescue even when we don't want to go there.
Amen.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just point number one. So this is going to be a brief study for those of you who are joining us. And we're certainly grateful for each of you. We have several platforms for our Bible study. We're not going to hold you long tonight. We're getting ready to wrap it up here in the next 15 minutes, but we just wanted to talk a little bit more about this sermon on yesterday, because it was a very powerful and impactful sermon. And I thought people were taking notes and they were trying to get a real sense of the importance and the significance of prayer in their lives. What else would you tell us, Lady Kim, that perhaps the Lord spoke to you afterwards?
Well, when you were talking about, you know, the positive a father figure, many times we think that and they do, the boys need their father the most, but girls need their fathers also.
That's right.
To feel their father's love and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, so they won't go looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
And then boys need their fathers to help them to become men.
That's right.
And to know and understand how to care for their families and how to care for a woman and how to treat a woman with respect and dignity. And so I think that's lacking in our society today. And then we talked about the other points in the sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that God's name is holy.
Okay.
And God's name, God has a lot of names, you know, and we have to call on some of those names sometimes, you know. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You know, when you're in need, you can call on that name. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. And so there are many, many names that suggest God's character. And God's character also reflects who God really is.
Okay.
So
all right. So we have to recognize, we have to remember, and what else?
Recognize, remember, and then I think I said realize, I can't get my notes up. I don't know the next one. Realize God's kingdom and his will.
Okay. That was a powerful point there, because if you elaborate on it, I think it would even be fresh today for someone who perhaps heard it, but they really didn't hear it. You know, you could be sitting in a place and hear something and really don't hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it was so much information yesterday, it was, may have been kind of overwhelming. You know, you try to take in as much as you can and write as fast as you can, but you might miss something, you know. So God's kingdom is holy, and we want to be in God's perfect will. So God's kingdom is unblemished. God's kingdom is perfect. It's impenetrable. So we have to realize that when we pray, we need to pray that God's kingdom will come and his will be done. Because when we pray that his kingdom will come, we're praying that his perfect will or his perfect conditions will be manifest on earth.
Okay. And sometimes we get that twisted when we start manufacturing our own wills and walking in our own way. Is that correct?
That's it, yes.
And so when we don't ask for God's will to be done, God's will to be done, then it leaves us vulnerable to allowing our own will to take place.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, all right. So you had, I called them the six auras for effective prayer, since you had six auras there that really reflected and reminded us of the importance of using this prayer as a launching pad.
Amen. And so the next one was requesting provisions and restoration. And I like that. You know, that God did not leave out that we needed provisions.
Okay.
That we needed stuff. We need stuff.
Right.
We need clothes. We need food. We need shelter. And God understands that we need things. And so he left it in that model prayer a place that we can request provisions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead. Continue. You have couple more points I want you to elaborate on those.
Resist temptation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation, yes. And, you know, that means that we will be tempted.
Right, right.
But in the Word, it says that he's given us a way of escape.
Okay.
And so all we have to do is resist the devil, and he'll flee from us.
So when we're tempted, we're not tempted by God.
Right.
I think you said that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're tempted by the enemy, and we're tempted and enticed by our own lustful spirits and our lust for things and people and situations.
Okay. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, mm-hmm. and the pride of life.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
That's it.
And so those are the kind of things that get us in trouble. But if we allow this give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debts. You said a lot about that forgiveness piece in the end. I think that really had people thinking about how they need to, you called it, to restore their relationship with God.
Right. Restore their relationship with God. And the only way you can restore your relationship with God is when you forgive other people. And so we always end that prayer. Well, I always end the prayer when it says, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Mm-hmm.
I always stop at amen.
Okay.
But the verses that follow that are most important, mm-hmm. where it says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive,
right.
men their trespasses, then you will not be forgiven."
Okay.
And so I think that whole model prayer hinges on those two verses.
Okay.
I think it's the 14th and 15th verse in that in that sixth chapter of Matthew, that we have to learn to forgive men. And Jesus was the greatest example of all when he was on the cross, hanging on the cross. He had he looked down from that cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same people who hung him on that cross, put nails in his hands and in his feet and stuck a spear in his side, put a crown of thorns on his head, he asked God to forgive them. And if Jesus can ask God to forgive the people who had done such an horrendous act to him, surely we can forgive someone for telling a lie on us. Surely we could forgive someone who has mistreated us. Now, I did not say you had to restore that relationship or become friends with that person again or buddy-buddy, but it means to forgive, just to forgive them for what they did to you so that you can move on.
Okay. So does that forgiveness lie just with us, or does the other person that you're asking to forgive have any credibility or any responsibility in that whole process?
Well, of course, yes, they do have a responsibility. But if they do not fulfill that responsibility, then you've done your part.
Okay. So there are so many people, and we can stay here, but we're going to move on. There are so many people who have unforgiveness still lingering in their hearts,
right,
over abuse and misuse, and over not just someone lying on them, but someone really taking advantage of them in such a way where they have not even thought about or even given any idea or inkling about how they are going to ask them to forgive or ask for forgiveness or seek their forgiveness or whatever manner of forgiveness might be. They want to do more harm than good to them in some cases because of what is happening. You used the example of Jesus on the cross and what had happened to him. But sometimes people wrestle with this whole thing of forgiveness and never move forward. And I hear you saying that these last two verses hinge is really the key for this whole prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have not come to grips with this whole forgiveness feast, then how does that relate to them getting an answer to their prayers? You follow what I'm saying?
I do. Mm-hmm. God answers prayers in his own way and in his own time.
Okay.
But I think God releases our blessings when we learn to forgive and then to move forward. A lot of people say forgive and forget. But I think God allows us to remember,
okay,
for a reason.
Okay.
When we forgive. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we need to forget, but
okay,
it does say we need to forgive.
Okay.
When we forgive and remember, that's like if I fall down and scrape my knee really bad. The first couple of times I look down there and I see my knee is all scarred up. If I touch it, it hurts.
Okay.
A scab will come over it, you know, and it starts to heal up, and then that scab falls off, and then after a while, all I look down and see is a scar.
Mm-hmm.
But it no longer hurts. And I think that's what forgiveness is all about. When you forgive somebody, when you truly forgive somebody, you can remember that thing, and it no longer hurts.
Wow.
You can remember, it's just like looking at that scar, you know. But some people, what they want to do is, and forgiveness and healing takes time.
Okay.
Because some people want to heal up right away. Some people think it's going to happen overnight. But I bet, you know, if you fall down and scrape up your knee and then you get a scab on that sore, if you pick at that scab, it's going to reopen that wound because mm-hmm. it's not all the way healed yet.
Okay,
and I know that's kind of a gory thing to say.
That's a good example.
You know, but when you allow that scab to fall off by itself, it means, okay, I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that you can do that is go to God in prayer and pray and ask God to allow you to begin to forgive. Go in your room, shut the door, and pray.
Okay.
Pray and ask God's perfect will to be done in your life. forgive that person. Ask God in your heart, God, help me to learn how to forgive. And God will help you to move forward. I can't tell you the timeline, but I think if you make a concerted effort to do so, God will help you move through it.
So, and that's really deep, and that's good, because and it's powerful. And I really didn't want to spend, we got about 10 more minutes on this, but this is a point of release for a lot of people. And breakthrough is tied to it, because many times the person that inflicts the harm or mm-hmm. the pain, they moved on in it with their life. And they chalked that up as another conquest or whatever. And now they're out there trying to do the same to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it's a saying that hurt people hurt people. And many times when we have that unforgiveness locked up on the inside of us, it doesn't release us into that place of experiencing God at a fresh level.
Yes.
You follow me?
Absolutely.
And so we had the book and we did a study on the bait of Satan
mm-hmm.
and how it's all involved in that whole aspect. That's a book in case somebody wants to pick it up. And some of you were at a top when we did it, and I might have to pull that back out. But the enemy will use unforgiveness to keep you in status quo. And you'll look back over your life and you'll see how you have not been released from that which somebody else or a pain that was inflicted upon you or hurt, that you have not released or asked for forgiveness. And you'll find yourself really going around in circles and missing out on the ultimate blessings and the ultimate destiny that God has for your life. And so I think it's key that even if that person has moved on and that person has not acknowledged the fact that they hurt you or they are not aware of it, I hear you saying, Lady Kim, we need to go to God and ask God to give us what we need in order to forgive. And then if the time does present itself, when we have an opportunity to talk with or to, we're not trying to rebuild or restore a relationship, but if God so sees fit for us to have an opportunity to be in the presence of someone, then our response should be of that of God. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
And not try to get revenge or try to hurt somebody because they hurt us.
That's right. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay.
Okay.
Not me, but God will repay.
Okay.
Our niece, Jaren Banks, is on tonight. Thank you, Jaja. She said, not forgiving makes you bitter.
That's right.
And we harbor bitterness in our hearts. And when you harbor bitterness, it doesn't allow room for God's blessings to flow.
That's good.
And then Dr. Carolyn Butler says, when we forgive, we will be able to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you the instructions on how to move in his purpose for your life.
That's right.
Amen.
That's powerful.
And as I said yesterday, and Minister Loretta states it here again, you know, forgiveness is not for them, it's for us.
Right.
It helps us to
get past
the pain and the hurt and the bitterness. So we have to learn to forgive, because forgiveness unlocks our blessings.
Wow.
Forgiveness gives us peace. Forgiveness allows us to move forward. Forgiveness allows God to continue to work in our lives.
That's great. And we won't be bound by the bait of Satan, and we will no longer be held hostage to that which God has already made a way for us to be released from.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me?
That's right.
We have a date with destiny, and when we walk in the things of God, when we ask God to order our steps and lead us in the way in which he would have us to go, and we listen to God, and then we're obedient to what God has said, not what we want to do, not what we think is best for the situation, not in our own timetable, but trust the timing of God.
Yes.
And God will release us into greater blessings because we dare to trust him with giving us instruction on how we ought to forgive.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's rich right there, Lady Kim. Now, we're not going to try to read all of this. And I know you have read and you. I saw you studying earlier today. And whether y'all know it or not, Lady Kim really is the lead person in this study. See, she's pinching me under the table. Y'all see her, don't you? Look and see how innocent she looking.
Why are you playing
she's
like
really
that?
The lead person.
No, I am not. So you are the lead person in all that we do. So I yield
go
to
ahead
my
and
pastor.
Talk a little bit more. Go ahead.
I yield
just
to my pastor.
Break that down a little bit so I can completely understand.
I yield to my pastor.
Okay. All right. So you yielding to your pastor tonight, right?
Every night.
Okay. Every Monday night. Okay. Every Monday night. See, y'all pick up on this.
Every Monday night.
But no, we're not going to try to read all of this tonight, Lady Kim, but you have some very great examples from the study that you use to kind of lay the platform, lay the
right.
guidelines,
right.
the framework for our study. And then we can talk a little bit about how we can apply this, even though it's an Old Testament, Old Testament scripture that applied to a culture in their day,
mm-hmm.
but it's different. And when we try to put handles and we try to get some significance for and takeaways for our own life.
Right, right, right.
So give us a little framework and then we'll kind of wrap it up and talk about how this really applies to us, this 23rd chapter. That's where we are tonight of Leviticus. And we just finished, for those of you who are joining us, reflecting on the powerful word from yesterday. And those of you who did not get an opportunity to hear that, I want to encourage you to go to our website and really listen to it. You might need to use it as a refresher. Because it was a powerful word, and it really laid a foundation for us to understand the importance and the significance of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Lord's Prayer. And many times we use it as our only prayer, but it's not a prayer to be prayed, but it can be. But it serves as a foundation for us and a model for us to live by and use as a launching pad.
Amen. Okay. Amen. And you know, the 23rd chapter of Leviticus is a book that talks about a lot of laws and do's and don'ts that God had given to Moses and how Moses imparted those laws to the people, to the priests and the sons of the priests.
Okay.
The Levitical tribe, that's what Leviticus is all about, mm-hmm. specific instructions to the Levitical tribe. But this 23rd chapter, the reason why we can linger a little bit on yesterday is all about the different feasts to the Lord.
That's right. That's right.
And the 23rd chapter talks about several feasts. It talks about the Sabbath, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay.
And so it just breaks down all of those different feasts and what people were to do during that time for those particular feasts. And so the chapter is about the special holy days the Israelites were to observe throughout the year. In addition to the feast days mentioned, the Hebrews were to observe the Sabbath day of rest every seventh day of the week. And you know, we even have there's even a denomination surrounding that Sabbath day or seventh day of rest called the Seventh Day Adventist, and they believe in, you know, the Bible and everything it has to say, but they literally worship on Saturday and they take that seventh day, that Sabbath day, as a day of rest. And so to break it down in chapter 23, verses 4 through 8, talks about the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Verses 9 through 14 talk about the celebration of the first fruits. Verses 15 through 22 talk about the Feast of Weeks, which is also known as Pentecost. Verses 23 through 25, the Holy Convocation, or the Feast of Trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 26 through 32, the Day of Atonement. Verses 33 through 44, the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths.
Okay.
So that's how the chapter is broken down.
Okay. So a lot of detailed descriptions about the various feasts and the festivals of the Israelites. Is that
right.
correct?
That's correct.
And they were instructed in this 23rd chapter in terms of how they should observe these particular feasts.
Right.
There was a lot of religious laws and regulations that were mentioned here in Leviticus. And we see God continuing to establish protocol and principle and giving them what they need in order to honor and respect him
mm-hmm.
in a way that brings glory to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so I think one of the examples for us as we just kind of reflect on this, and you all can read it at your leisure, is in us honoring God through our worship and thanksgiving and remembering him for all that he's done.
Amen.
And so we sometimes get in such a hurry to be about our own business till we fail to reflect, and this is part of Memorial Day,
mm-hmm.
reflect back on the sacrifice that mm-hmm. was paid
mm-hmm.
that we might enjoy the opportunities that we are currently enjoying.
Amen.
And so we ought not ever forget what the Lord has done, and I think with the emphasis of honoring God through our worship and our thanksgiving and in our remembrance, I think it's timeless, and that we should continue to persist in that and not grow weary in situations in our lives that look contrary to what we're believing God to do. And so this concept, as you talked about the Sabbath, many people have different opinions about that. But I think it starts all the way back in Genesis when God rested, you know, as he made the creation.
That's true.
And so the New Testament understanding was that our first day of the week was Sunday, and that was the day that we reverence and worship. And so, but the importance here, I think, is not so much in trying to get caught up in different days, is that we need to take time to observe what God has done for us. And then he's speaking of rest here. He's speaking of a time of rest so that we can reflect and renew and revive ourselves for what yet lies ahead.
Amen. Rest and reflection.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whatever day that is for you.
Right.
Whether it be Saturday or Sunday or Tuesday or Friday, we should honor God. We should respect God by taking time out to rest and reflect.
That's right.
And a lot of times we forget about resting.
That's right.
You know, I'm guilty of that. Like you said today, what did I get some rest in? You know, I took a quick nap, but I, you know, did a lot of cleaning up before I took a nap,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I did more work than resting. So we have to learn to take our rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take our rest.
Okay. All right. So what would you say would be a handle, is that it, for a takeaway for us from this 23rd chapter? We're getting ready to close it out. Would that be one of the significant takeaways?
I think so. Rest and reverence and reflection.
Okay.
Rest, reverence, and reflection.
Okay.
We need to take time to rest. We need to take time to reflect on God's goodness. And we need to take time to reverence his holy name and his holy word.
Okay. That's great. So we can do that by prioritizing prayer and making sure that we set aside time to really develop our disciplines and be serious about what we believe in God for. Mm-hmm. And as I say often, we ought to allow our belief to line up with our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe God to be a healer and a deliverer and all of the other things that you are a forgiver of sins, then your behavior should match that.
That's right.
And so we should not be walking left and talking right, or walking right and talking left.
That's good.
And so it's important for us to develop. So this chapter really talks about our gratitude and devotion to God. And when you look at it and when you read it and we put it in proper perspective for our own lives, you'll see why God set aside these feasts and the festivals, and how he instructed the Israelites in observance. And so we too need to carry that model with us in terms of how we reverence God and draw from these valuable lessons that we see here in this chapter.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to stop there for tonight. And we trust that each of you have had a great day today, and that we appreciate you being on this study tonight. As we said earlier, we're not going to try to hold you through the whole hour, but normally, well, we continue to have our study even if it's on a holiday, and we don't like to take the break, but we're just, it's always good to, you know, break around the word, and then you can always get back to, you know, whatever you need to do, particularly on the days that are significance in the Christian calendar for us as believers. And we're still in Pentecostal mode, and we're still grateful for what happened on the day of Pentecost. And see, we lose sight of those significant days in the life of the church, in the church calendar, but that's something that helps us to reflect and to remember.
Amen. Amen.
Any prayer requests, Lady Kim, that you have, and those of you who are on, if you have a particular prayer request, we hope that you will share that with us, that we might pray with you around what you're believing God to do in your situation. We believe in the power of prayer, and we know that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So there are already several prayer requests that we have, but if you have one tonight that you want to share with us, we want to include that on the prayer call, as we have two times during the week for intercessory prayer. And we want to invite you, if you do have a request, to join us. And even if you don't have a request, to join us each Wednesday night, mm-hmm, at 8:30 for a time of intercessory prayer.
Amen.
And you'll be surprised at what prayer can do and how God can put us in a place of feeling good about, you know, what tomorrow is going to bring, or what our outlook is going to be, when we just release that to him through prayer.
Amen. Amen. We want to lift up, I don't see any prayer requests on the feed yet, but of course we want to lift up the Elizabeth Hughes family. Mother Hughes made her transition to be with the Lord, and so her services will be at Anointed Temple of Praise this Thursday, May the 30th. The family, or the viewing, will be at 10 o'clock a.m., and then the service will start at 11. We love Mother Hughes dearly, 93 years old, and she made just such a significant impact in the life of Anointed Temple of Praise, and she will be missed. So make sure, we hope that everyone will, ATOP members will come out and support the family on this Thursday. And then we want to lift up Clee Breon Richmond, our son-in-law, and Tiffany, our daughter. Clee lost his uncle, James Mitchell. That funeral is this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. at MJ Edwards on Elvis Presley. And then lift up our family, the Murray family, in your prayers, and the loss of our nephew, Anthony Handley. That's Pastor Murray's sister's son, passed away. We would pray for Anthony every Wednesday, called his name faithfully. He went on to be with the Lord on this past Saturday, and Right now, the arrangements are incomplete. So just lift up the Murray family. Lift up Gloria Palmer and Ronnie Palmer in your prayers, the mother and stepfather of Anthony. Lift up his sisters and his brother.
Terry,
Gay, and Mario. They need your prayers today, as well as the extended family. So thank you so much. Then we have on the feed prayers for Andrew C. as he travels later this week. Also, Minister Loretta is traveling on this week. Sister Michelle Carter is asking prayers for her daughter Angela, traveling back from London, that she have a safe flight back. So we want to lift her up as well. So we also want to lift up Brother Larry Shotwell, who is at home. He was released from the hospital. Brother Charles Reynolds and his procedure that he had last week. And we heard a little Sister Lauren Henderson hurt her knee while she was playing ball. She's a baseball player and hurt her knee. So we're praying for Lauren's healing of her knee as well. So if there are no other prayers, we pray for traveling grace and mercies for all those who are traveling this Memorial Day weekend. I heard on the news that this is a record-breaking travel weekend for people. And so this is the official start of summer, even though summer begins later on in June, but the Memorial Day weekend
kind of kicks it off.
Kicks off the official summer because a lot of people are out of school. And then pray for Sister Alice Howard. Alice Howard also asking for prayer.
Okay.
Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We bless you. We honor you. You, God, alone are worthy to be praised. God, we need your peace and comfort today for the Hughes family in the loss of Mother Hughes. We need your peace and comfort for the Richmond family in the loss of James Mitchell. We ask peace and comfort for the Murray family in the loss of Anthony Handley. And then, God, we ask for your healing power and healing virtue to go forth in Brother Larry Shotwell, Brother Charles Reynolds, Lauren Henderson, Alice Howard. We thank you today, God. We know you will touch them with your finger of love. And we know, oh God, that you will heal their bodies. Now, God, we ask for traveling grace and mercy for Andrew C. and for Angela Carter. And for Loretta Perkins and all the others who will be traveling to and fro and near and far, we ask for your protection, oh God, to be upon them. Give them grace and mercy that they might go to their destinations and return home safely. We thank you for goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we bless your name, God. Now we lift up anointed temple of praise to you, God. You know, oh God, what we endeavor to do. We ask that you would continue to rain down resources, oh God. Let us lack no good thing because we attempt to do your will. We love you. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for our associate pastors and ministers, spiritual officers, leaders, ministry leaders, God. We thank you for them all because without them all, we couldn't do the work. So we ask that you would continue to be with us. Grant us every good thing until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God. Thank you, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer tonight. All right. Well, we hope y'all enjoy the rest of your evening and be satisfied.
Amen.
Is that right?
Be safe.
Be safe.
On this Memorial Day.
That's right.
Bye-bye. Take care.